From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Iron Range lawmakers made a good fight of it on Tuesday, but lost by 10 votes as the Minnesota House approved a budget bill that takes $60 million from economic development in the Arrowhead. Late last month, when the bill was still in committee, District 6A Representative David Dill called the move politically motivated and unfair.
That's our local property taxes.
The bill would take half of the Douglas Johnson Economic Protection Trust Fund from the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board. Money for the Johnson Fund comes from taxes on taconite production assessed on mines in lieu of property taxes. Dill said the decades-old legislation setting up production taxes instead of property taxes levels the playing field in the Northeast. If mines paid property taxes, some counties would lose out.
If we didn't have the production tax, then the mines would pay property taxes, and they pay it to the county that the mines are located in. So Cook County would be devastated by this if that were to be the case, because you don't have a mine.
DFL Representative Tom Rukavina of Virginia was one of the range legislators arguing against the bill. He said it was like stealing, not just property taxes, but from the futures of Arrowhead children. To make a point, he proposed an amendment that would take money from cities represented by Republicans. During Tuesday's floor debate, Dill said since 2002, the Johnson Fund has helped create over 4,500 jobs. When asked earlier for an example of business expansion, Dill said it was everywhere.
You cannot drive on a blacktop road in my legislative district and not drive by someplace that hasn't received IRRRB economic development money.
The future of the bill is doubtful, however. Democratic Governor Mark Dayton has said he opposes taking money out of the Johnson Fund.
Sexual violence affects millions of men, women, and children in the United States and across the globe every year. To help combat this ongoing and devastating problem, the month of April is designated as National Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
The theme of the 2011 National Sexual Assault Awareness Campaign is, it's time to get involved.
That's Jody Uhasey of the Violence Prevention Center in Grand Marais.
You know, we witness behaviors every day, and some of it is great. We see someone showing kindness to another person, being respectful to another person. Acknowledge that. Also holds true is if you see a behavior that bothers you. You know, chances are if it isn't hitting you the right way, it may not feel comfortable to the other person, and it's really hard to speak out. But sometimes just checking in with somebody to see if they're okay.
But what is sexual assault, and who are the perpetrators?
Sexual assault occurs when someone touches any part of another person's body in a sexual way, even through clothes, without that person's consent. So it's anything that's unwanted.
That's Kayla O'Brien, also from the Violence Prevention Center in Grand Marais.
The assailants are often acquaintances, friends, or family members, and assailants commit sexual assaults by way of violence, threats, coercion, manipulation, pressure, or tricks. Whatever the circumstances, no one ever asks or deserves to be sexually assaulted.
National statistics show that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 8 boys will be affected by sexual violence. The Violence Prevention Center has 2 events planned for this month. The first is called Denim Day.
Denim Day is a worldwide campaign to raise awareness and educate the public about rape and sexual assault.
Denim Day will be observed locally and around the world on Tuesday, April 13th. Later this month, there will be a special event at the Art Colony in Grand Marais.
Tuesday, April 26th at 6:30 p.m. at the Art Colony, we will be having a special service of recentering, healing, and restoration. And it's aimed for all who have been affected by sexual violence, maybe directly as a survivor, maybe as a secondary survivor. And when we say secondary survivor, we think of friends and family members who are affected, and community members who, again, want to join us in support of survivors of sexual violence and speak out for a safer future.
Who pays how much tax and how fair is it? That's a perennial question that gets answered in many ways from many points of view.
Determining the total tax burden that someone pays is actually a very complex study.
That's John Van Hecke, executive director of the St. Paul think tank Minnesota 2020.
In Minnesota, we roughly split our tax burden from three sources. So you can think of it kind of as a three-legged stool. It's income tax, property tax, and then taxes derived from the sale of goods. So you can think of that as sales tax.
For some time in Minnesota, lawmakers and public policy groups have debated what they see as a growing disparity in who pays a greater or lesser percent of their incomes to the state.
Regarding, you know, what's sort of the fairest way of paying your taxes, it depends on, you know, who's really asking that question. We are great fans of progressively sharing the burden, meaning that the more money that you earn, the greater your responsibility should be to pay for things.
Most economists say income taxes are progressive because the formula is based on earnings. They would also say that property taxes and such devices as sales and excise taxes are regressive because they are not fundamentally based on earnings.
Police services, ambulance services, you know, public safety, public health, education doesn't necessarily neatly match up with the other economic activities in our lives. What we've seen over the last 10 years in Minnesota is a shift away from the reliance on income tax and more towards a property tax.
The Nonprofit Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy has issued an analysis of tax systems in all 50 states called Who Pays? Their conclusion is that overall, Minnesota's middle-income earners pay 10.3% of their income in state and local taxes, compared to the state's highest earners, who pay 7.7% of their income in taxes.
The highest income earners do pay more in volume of taxes, but it's a lower percentage of their income.
Van Hecke said that increased property taxes tend to impact rural Minnesota harder than the metro area.
You know, the burdens on small communities just become so much greater to see. You know, because there are a lot of other factors. I mean, the burden of on cities like Minneapolis and St. Paul is equally challenging, but there's, you know, a very complex, revenue base, labor market, there are job choices, there are all sorts of things that are a part of life in the city that add to the challenges and the complexities of living in the city, but give cities different kinds of tools to deal with these problems. Whereas in a rural community, you know, you start to see this shift and, you know, it hits folks really hard.
You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.